find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm at a smoothie bar asking people if they'd switch smoothies with me for $574.
Oh, I'll switch.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
That's a headache.
Nope, it's painless.
Oh, so it's easy money.
Yep, check Allstate first and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-948-5880. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-948-5880 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Former New York Congressman George Santos is in federal court. The Republican lawmaker, who was expelled by his colleagues, accused of lying about his finances, his education, his family, and other things, is expected to plead guilty to several fraud charges. Secretary of State Blinken's in Israel, says Prime Minister Netanyahu backs a proposal outlined by President Biden for a ceasefire and hostage release deal.
What's most crucial now is that everyone, refrain from taking any actions that could fuel further conflict, escalate tensions.
It's Blinken's ninth visit to the region since the October 7th attacks. A real-life president, Joe Biden, will give the keynote address on this first night of the Democratic National Convention, but he'll be introduced by actor Tony Goldwyn, who played President Fitzgerald Grant on TV on ABC's Scandal. This is ABC News. Disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein in a New York courtroom for a hearing related to California's request for extradition.
Harvey Weinstein will stay in custody in New York as Manhattan prosecutors seek to retry him on sex crime charges this fall. Weinstein was arraigned on a warrant from Governor Kathy Hochul to ensure he remains in New York instead of being transferred to California to serve his sentence in that state for rape and other crimes. The Queens DA says once the New York trial is complete, Weinstein will be returned to California. Weinstein's original New York conviction was thrown out on appeal. He maintains his innocence and is also appealing his California conviction. Dave Packer, ABC News.
U.S. and South Korean troops have kicked off a large-scale exercise which is aimed at strengthening their combined defense capabilities against North Korea. The annual summertime exercise comes amid heightened tensions on the Korean Peninsula, where North Korea accuses the U.S. and South Korea of practicing an invasion. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable's bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
What's better than one win? Three wins. With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is in Chicago for this week's Democratic National Convention.
It's good, and it's good to have Democrats getting together and finding out what other states are doing at the same time that, you know, we're learning from other states. You know, bringing people together and being able to hear directly from the folks that are running for president and vice president.
While the DNC is in Chicago, there will be plenty of focus on Wisconsin. Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will hold a rally at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee Tuesday. And also on Tuesday, Republican Vice Presidential Candidate J.D. Vance will hold a press conference in Kenosha on the topic of crime and safety, while in Milwaukee Friday to pick up the endorsement of the city's police union. Vance compared illegal immigration to a previous wave of immigrants.
But has anybody ever seen the movie Gangs of New York? That's what I'm talking about. We know that when you have these massive ethnic enclaves forming in our country, it can sometimes lead to higher crime rates. What we want is an American immigration policy that promotes assimilation, that no matter where you come from, you can become an American, but only if we have an immigration policy that promotes assimilation.
Milwaukee Police Association is endorsing Vance and former President Donald Trump. Civil rights groups are trying to block expansion of Interstate 94 in Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee NAACP, the Sierra Club, and Milwaukee area faith groups claim the project will favor suburban residents of the area over the mostly low-income community members that will be affected by the expansion. The Journal Sentinel reports the lawsuit was originally filed in 2017 when the expansion was first planned, but a lack of funding canceled the project. Now that the proposed expansion is back on schedule, the groups will refile their lawsuit on Monday. If the project moves forward regardless, they want more funding for public transit and pedestrian and bike paths through the area. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny today and quite comfortable, with calm winds out of the northwest. High temperatures are hitting the low 80s. This as a high-pressure system settles in overhead, keeping us dry all week long. A few clouds build in tonight with low temperatures falling to the mid-50s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 78 degrees.
And thank you for joining us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for the conversation about farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on our program today, we're going to talk markets early in the week with Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart, in just a moment. In segment two, what's the weather situation looking like? I know we got various crop tours going on this week across the country, and the weather forecast looking fairly good, it sounds like, once again. DTN meteorologist John Baranek is going to join us for the rundown in segment two. Then in segment three, we're going to catch up with Jackie Fatka from CoBank and talk about various sustainable aviation fuel, renewable fuel, ethanol topics that she has been covering as of late. I know there's been a lot of news there and not so much news there. I'm talking about SAF in that instance. So we're going to get the details with Jackie coming up in segment three here of today's AOA. And then we'll wrap the show with a look at ag news headlines, including some comments from Jonathan Coppice with the University of Illinois, talking about the recent CBO scoring of the House version of the Farm Bill. Of course, we still don't have a new five-year Farm Bill. Some interesting tidbits there from Jonathan Coppice with the U of Illinois. So we'll get to that coming up at the end of today's show. Let's take a look at the markets. And joining us now to kick things off, Darren Newsom, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on again, Jesse. And yes, it was a quieter weekend this time around. Certainly no complaints about that.
Well, I'm sure no complaints to see a little bit of green in row crops to start the week. It's not a lot, though, and I did chuckle at the opening line in your morning commentary on Bar Chart. Attention shoppers, there's a blue light special at aisle two on U.S. soybeans. You know, obviously it's been a tough environment. I think we lost 50 cents in Novi beans last week. Trying to find some demand. Sounded like there might have been a little bit of demand on the Monday morning wire, but I mean, your perspective, this soybean market's gotten kind of ugly as of late, hasn't it, Darren?
Yeah, it has. When I closed out last Friday's afternoon commentary, the last thing I said about soybeans was, you know, I asked the question, is there any bullish elements, any bullish tidbits we can take into the weekend? And quite frankly, there was not. But, you know, as I did all the analysis over the weekend, you know, one thing did kind of stand out to me, and it wasn't a surprise, but it did kind of stand out to me. And if we look at the price distribution for both National Soybean Index, which is the national average cash price, and November futures, they're both in the lower 33%. In fact, they're both in the lower 20s. And what this tells us is only, you know, 20 some odd percent of the time do the markets close lower than where they did last Friday. And so, you know, the old theory is once you get in, you know, below that 33%, it starts to become a buying opportunity. And so, you know, as we look longer term, maybe we start to see, you know, the fact, as you mentioned, you know, this continued crush, this continued slide with November losing 50 some cents, possibly starting to bring some buying back into the market. We know funds added to their net short futures position. We know, you know, that it looked like overnight, you know, right off the bat, that there was some commercial buying kind of hinting at export sales, which, you know, were announced here Monday morning with a total of about 16 million bushels for new crop. So there is the possibility that we do start to see some buying, some non-commercial short covering, some commercial interest down at these levels. And that could start to provide some support to the, you know, to the market. Unfortunately, you know, we're just right here at harvest, and that just means more supplies are going to be coming available.
Yeah, it feels to me that, I mean, if we get prices cheap enough, it's got to spur up some buying at some point here. Obviously, though, I know a lot of producers don't love to see prices at this level in beans. Mm-hmm. Corn has been, I felt like corn has been doing its best to try and hold around $4 on the board. What's your take in this corn market right now, Darren?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, corn likes round numbers, and the bigger the round number, the more attractive it is. You know, the market tries to stay at that level. And so, you know, what we've seen is last week, these corn got down to 390. The key to me in corn is that $4 mark, because we closed July at 399 and three quarters. So if we're looking at the long-term continuous monthly for Dease corn, and this just takes Dease corn contracts into account, if we can close above that 399 and three quarter here in August, so meaning if we can close at $4 or higher, that would complete a bullish long-term reversal pattern. And that could start to bring some money back in. Again, starting with non-commercial short covering. What's really interesting to me and what stood out to me about the corn market at last Friday's close is that in the deferred spreads, not the Dease March, but say the Dease May, the May, July, and so on, what we saw was a weaker carrier, or the covering less calculated full commercial carry. This is an interesting point in that we know there's going to be a big crop. I don't care how many blind mice are out running around the fields this week, but we know by watching the market that we're going to have a big crop. We can see that with Dease March future spread. But as we look at those deferreds, we can also see demand is expected to pick up as the marketing year goes along. And so that is a bullish factor. And that certainly could be what triggers some buying, or at least some support here as early harvest gets underway.
Darren, how about the wheat market? That's something you and I haven't talked a whole lot about here as of late. I know we got an expected big spring wheat harvest on the way. We've had a pretty good KC and Chicago wheat harvest here this year. Anything standing out to you in this wheat market overall right now?
Yeah, the number one thing that stood out to me last week was in the Kansas City market, and it's just classic wheat, where we saw the December contract a week or two after completing a technical bullish reversal go to a new low. And so it immediately raises the question, starts the debate for all of those who have watched the wheat over the years. Was this a characteristic head fake? Was it just trying to search for where some sell orders might be, trigger them, and then go right back up? So, you know, this is what we're going to have to watch. This is in the Kansas City market. You know, we've seen some commercial support coming in. We know funds are still short, but now we've got this technical, you know, glitch, if you want to call it, a possible head fake out there on the weekly chart. And now we'll see, whether or not it was, again, just a head fake or just an indication of, you know, the path of least resistance continues to be down.
Darren, outside markets, too, as we kind of wrap up here on the show today in this segment. Anything big you're watching this week? Energy stocks, etc.
Yeah, I like stocks. You know, they're getting, you know, they've erased what, you know, the selling that we saw in late July, early August. So, you know, again, the trends of the markets, particularly the Dow and the S&P, is still up. The other one that really jumps out at me, two others that really jump out at me quickly: gold going over 2,500 last week. I thought that was impressive. And then in the cotton market, where we saw funds in the latest CFTC commitment to traders report, where we saw funds go, you know, just barely come off of their record large short and net short futures positions from the week before. So certainly something to watch to see if cotton can continue to find some non-commercial short covering, and if gold up at these lofty levels continues to find some buying interest.
Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart. Always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for being with us today.
I appreciate you having me on, Jesse.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the weather with DTN meteorologist John Baranek. You're listening to AOA.
Tracy Lawrence for the U.S. Air Force.
We all have tough choices we have to make. Life just works that way. I remember when I was getting ready to move to Nashville to pursue my dream. I packed my 10-year-old Toyota Corolla with 250,000 miles on it and hit the road. It was a tough choice, but the right one for me. If I decided to take what seemed like an easier road, I never would have achieved my dream. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation. Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here on AOA today, it's time to take a look at the weather. How are things shaping up here into the back half of August? Weather has been pretty doggone good here for much of the main growing regions, the Corn Belt here for the U.S. How are things shaping up this week? Joining us now for a conversation, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. And John, I'll make this comment too. My wife, we're traveling to, we're in Iowa seeing some of my family here this week ahead of Farm Progress Show next week, and still on the road a little bit. And she stepped out of the truck this morning and said, man, it's kind of cold. And I said, well, welcome to the Midwest here. She's a Southern girl at heart. I said, you know, 60s, I guess that's cold to you. But anyway, I'll stop picking on her a little bit. Fairly good weather, really. Feels like it's kind of continuing here, at least early this week, John.
Yeah, Jesse, you're right. You know, we had a nice system that rolled through over the weekend, really all of last week, and dumped rain over almost the entire region. It was actually kind of nice. You know, it did cause some flooding in some areas, like around Missouri and Nebraska and Kansas got a little bit of that. I think Iowa and even some Illinois areas got some flooding. But overall, I mean, it was a good douse of rain for a lot of folks. And that's good because this week is going to be pretty dry. I mean, we had a ridge that has really been keeping the heat over Texas. I mean, out of all the spots in the country, really Texas has been the one under the gun all month with days in the hundreds there, just about every day. And that ridge that caused that heat has been expanding it northward up through the Rockies and into Canada there. And it's really putting a block in this pattern here. So we're not going to get a whole lot of changes going on this week, at least for the next several days here. Cooler weather has settled up into the Midwest, and that's going to be around for quite a while. Meanwhile, we got that heat building from Texas. It'll kind of work its way up the high plains there going up into Montana. But we do get a little bit of a change here this week where this trough that's over the eastern states will lift out, and then that ridge will start expanding late this week. And we'll see temperatures picking up later this week, and that'll cause a little bit of changes to our weather pattern here for going into next week. We're not entirely confident on it, I'll tell you that. I mean, and this has been kind of the case over the last month, Jesse, is that we get these, you know, we're okay with the week one forecast, but week two looks one way, and then a couple days later, it doesn't look that way anymore. And models just been all over the place with different little systems and how they're going to treat these upper level features. And they don't have a whole lot of confidence beyond, you know, the day seven. So it's a little tough to see what's actually going to happen for next week. But at least for this week, we stay mostly dry across the Corn Belt. We do get plenty of showers and thunderstorms going up over the northern plains, and that may leak into, you know, like the upper Midwest into Nebraska and Kansas, Iowa at times here this week. But overall, it's much drier this week, and at least the cooler temperatures will be around. At least, you know, you might, if you were in Indiana, you might be able to pick on your wife a little bit more. Temperatures might dip into the 40s out there, but where you're at, it'll be just a little bit warmer for you.
Yeah, it sounds like Northern Iowa is going to be pretty good here this week. You mentioned the Northern Plains. I want to talk about that because that, to your point, sounds like that's going to be a little bit of the hot spot here this week. And I know, I think it was last week, I saw some pictures and video of some of the heavy flooding in parts of central North Dakota, for instance. So talk about this pattern that's kind of continuing to bring these chances through the Northern Plains here this week, John.
Yeah, Jesse, that system that went through last week, and, you know, it was good for most of the Corn Belt, wasn't for the plains, because, you know, a lot of the wheat up there is either in the midst of being harvested or is maturing and doesn't need the rain. It'd be real nice if they didn't. And, yeah, they had some pretty heavy rainfall there in North Dakota, which, you know, obviously is a big spring wheat area. That extended all the way up into the Canadian prairies as well. And this ridge that's kind of stuck there is blocking the pattern, and all of this systems that are out in the, you know, off the Pacific Northwest and into, you know, British Columbia, just keeps throwing energy at it. And unfortunately for those in the Northern Plains up into Canada, I mean, showers are going to continually move through all week long. We don't really see a break in anything. You know, it's scattered showers and thunderstorms. It's not like a big organized system, at least it shouldn't be. We'll see what next week brings. But we're not expecting anything that would be super flooding rainfall like we saw last week. So I guess that's some good news. And it's at least scattered in nature, so it's going to be blotches here and there. But, you know, they don't need the rain up there. unless you've got pastures that are a little brown and could use a little rain. I guess that would be the other thing for livestock out there. But anybody, you know, growing grains up there are not welcoming the rain at all.
We are talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here today on AOA. John, you mentioned some of that heat down in the south as well. And I know we've been seeing some of those temperatures, especially in Texas here as of late. Any big impacts down there that you are seeing with that continued heat that we're watching? Is it adding to anything on the drought monitor, for instance, et cetera, et cetera?
It hasn't, because they've had at least some rainfall to go with it. And they're coming off of some really good rainfall earlier before the heat started. So it's playing catch up. The heat is on drying things out. You would expect that, you know, having a few weeks of days in the hundreds and you'd see widespread drought on the drought monitor. And there is some, but it's not as widespread as you might expect it to be. But this pattern isn't really stopping. So that the drought should be increasing across Texas, across Oklahoma, Louisiana, likely as well. For the next week at least, we're going to wait to see if the tropics get a little bit more active and maybe it can bring some moisture up into there late this month into September. We'll see. For now, yeah, that the heat's really, really causing drought to expand, and it's not great for anybody that still has some crop out there. And you still need a bit of rain from it. Corn's probably done for them, so that's not a big deal. But anybody that has cotton or sorghum out there could use a little bit more rain, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen here for a little bit.
All right, John, let's turn our attention to South America. I want to talk about that here real quick as well. Brazil, Argentina, I know we've seen some various fronts move through, maybe some limited showers in southern Brazil. We've seen some frost as well as they're kind of working through their winter months. But I know this conversation's really going to start to ramp up for South American weather here in the next month or so as we get closer to our harvest here in the U.S. I mean, what's your take on what we're watching right now through Brazil and Argentina?
Yeah, you know, as long as we keep continuing to see La Nina developing in the Pacific Ocean, and it looks like it is, that spells bad news for a lot of Argentina and southern Brazil's croplands down there. They've been dry over the winter. And, you know, usually they are drier. I mean, it's wintertime, right? But they get some rainfall down there, but they just haven't. And so a lot of areas down there are just needing some moisture badly. They just haven't been able to get it. So they're looking forward to the next couple of weeks here, hopefully to get that started before La Nina really gets entrenched and, kind of shuts things off for them quite a bit. But I don't see a lot of optimism for them. They've got a system that's down there in Argentina right now, but you know the showers with it have been pretty paltry, and really just along the front across far southern Brazil is where they've seen showers so far. That sticks around all week before pushing northward here, kind of Thursday, Friday, kind of deeper into Brazil a little bit, where they need some rain too. They haven't gotten a whole lot of rain outside of the state, that one state of Rio Grande do Sul. They had some flooding back in May, and they've had some heavier rain pockets move through at times here over their winter. But you know, elsewhere has been very dry, and it's really been kind of limiting here, and kind of, you know, it should start perking people up as to prospects for the next crop. And that, you know, for soybeans in Brazil, they're not legally allowed to plant until September 1st, but that's early this year if they can start that. Usually it's mid-September when folks start thinking about it, and they usually wait for the rains. And, you know, with how dry it is and the lack of you know, prospects for moisture here coming up, I mean, it could be a little dicey about when they actually get to start planting there in Brazil. And so that'll be the real big key to watch going forward is, you know, can they get some soil moisture going in September, or are they going to have to wait until October? And if they have to wait, that really puts the crunch on them for trying to double crop soybeans and corn. So we'll be watching that very closely. And obviously, you know, Argentina has an extended period. They don't double crop really. So they just get a very long cropping season. But if they don't get this rain coming, they might have some pains there too.
Definitely some things to pay attention to. You can stay up to date with the latest weather forecasts online, dtnpf.com. And with that, DTN meteorologist John Baranek. John, have a great week. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Jesse. Enjoy your time with your family.
Definitely going to try. Going to try. As we continue our program here today, up next, we're going to talk about a host of renewable fuels related issues with Jackie Fatka, lead analyst, Farm Supply and Biofuels at CoBank. She joins us next on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
You're listening to a...
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, September milk up 15 to 22.06, October up 11 to 22.15, November up 8 to 21.38, December milk steady at 20.12. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets today, they are moving mostly lower. Also, hog markets mostly lower as well, as the cash market didn't provide any support, especially for the cattle markets. Cash cattle traded lower at levels indicated early in the week. Last week, hogs also had lower cash trade and weakness in cutouts, and that continues to pressure prices today. August live cattle down 12 cents to 182.67. August feeder cattle down 72 cents to 242.05. October hogs down 12 cents to 74.95. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets are flat. Soybeans higher. Wheat, though, is moving mostly lower. Now, there have been recent rains that should be adequate to support corn and soybean crops down the final stretch of the growing season. Now, there has been some talk that China's not coming back into the market, and they're shopping around. Outside markets were also mixed. That's providing for some of the mixed trade this morning. New crop 25 corn down a quarter to 434 and three quarters. Meanwhile, new crop 25 beans up 2 3/4 to 1019 and a half. And Chicago wheat to September down 6 to 524. With markets, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And
thanks for sticking with us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. Jesse Allen back with you. Good to talk with DTN meteorologist John Baranek as we ran through the weather. Sounds like another fairly good week. Maybe a few changes on the horizon here, but still the prospects out there for a pretty large crop across much of the Midwest. And that's something that we got to keep our eye on here as we work towards harvest. And I know, talking with Darren Newsom there in segment one, prices are down just a bit, of course. And it's a tough conversation out there with farmers and ranchers when you start thinking about marketing your grain and more. But keep chin up, and we'll see how things kind of go moving forward here. Is the best thing I could say. Farmers, we're resilient and always seem to have been that way, and will continue to be that way. All right, well, let's talk about some renewable fuels related issues. Joining us now, she is lead analyst for farm supply and biofuels with CoBank. Jackie Fatka's with us here on the show. Jackie, how are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having me with you this morning.
Absolutely. It's good to talk with you again. And I'm glad to have you here to talk about this issue. It's one that we haven't really touched on yet here on the show. And I'll be honest, I've seen a lot of mixed messages, a lot of mixed signals. I've had the time to kind of dive into it just a little bit, but I know you've done more work on this. California's recent update on their low carbon fuel standard. And the talk is it's a proposed cap on canola and soy oil. Talk about this. Is it actually a proposed cap? What exactly is going on with this update to their LCFS?
Yeah, so right, California's low carbon fuel standard is a huge driver, especially in this renewable diesel boom that we have. And again, for our Midwest farmers, a lot of the hope and increased in the soy crush was because of what we were hoping to capture in that market because of the fact that soy oil could be used for renewable diesel there. They last week on the 12th, California proposed a 20% cap on any of the biomass-based diesel coming from soy, bean, or canola oil at 20%. So, last year they accounted for about the soybean oil and canola oil were about 30% of the renewable diesel that qualified for the credits. So that if anything over that cap, it basically goes to an equal amount of that fossil fuel is. So there's no incentive to blend above that 20%. And so really big hit, negative hit to the soy industry and canola. You know, we've got some increased canola acres that are trying to be planted around in the U.S. too. Some of that canola is coming from Canada, but again, another kind of hit that this industry is already facing increased feedstock competition when it comes to some of the fats, oils, and greases, especially the used cooking oil from China. So this is also a really short proposed rule. They proposed it on August 12th, and the finalized comments are supposed to come in on August 27th. So it also makes you think they're not really looking for a lot of comments that they're going to take into account and make any changes. That short of a timeline on the comment period also makes it look like they're going to push this through.
And that's a great point as well. I had noticed that, and it's I would echo your sentiment. It just feels like that, well, we're given the comment period, but really we're not giving you a comment period. This is what we're trying to push through. And that's a tough thing to see. And roped in with this, you mentioned the used cooking oil imports from China, and that's been a whole other separate issue, but I think they tie together well here. So I'll bring that up. I know we got an EPA auditing of UCOs from China. It sounds like there's been a lot of push from members of Congress to look into this. What's some of the latest when it comes to these UCOs from China?
Yeah, so Reuters reported last week that EPA is conducting some audits. You know, there's been a lot of concern that quote, use cooking oil is just heated up palm oil or enough cooking oil that's been added to palm oil to make it test that it is used cooking oil, right? So there's, and this is, you know, huge amounts. I'm talking, you know, massive amounts that have changed compared to last year when you look at what's been coming in. And, you know, this is really, you know, the renewable fuel standard sets the limits of what we thought the volume obligations were based on what we thought we could get imported on available stocks, right? There's no way that we could have as much used cooking oil that we have coming in, right? Like, they've got to be doing something. So it's good that EPA is doing this. We have no idea on the timeline on that audit. You know, the other challenge too, a lot of these are structured as tax incentives, right? So how, you know, is it EPA that brings them into compliance? Is it the Department of Treasury that brings them into compliance? So there's some kind of challenges within, you know, how you even make them play by the rules properly, right? Like, this is a problem with some of these programs, is that you've got a lot of people that maybe aren't familiar with, you know, Department of Treasury is no expert in renewable fuels, right? But they're conducting some of that as well. But this is an EPA audit. But again, we'd hoped, back to the LCFS, right? We thought, well, maybe if we can figure out that all of this used cooking oil is not actually used cooking oil, that feedstock use would go down. But now we can't replace that with the soy oil if we've got this 20% cap.
We're talking with Jackie Fatka from CoBank here. And Jackie, what about the push from the industry side? What are folks throughout the industry trying to do? What are they talking about in terms of, you know, the LCFS or the used cooking oil imports, all these different issues that are really kind of cutting into the opportunity out there for U.S. growers, it feels like? I mean, what's some of the latest you're hearing from industry folks right now?
You know, there's over 20 new or expanding crush plants that were announced since the start of this kind of renewable diesel boom came on, right? And so a lot of money was going on there. You know, North Dakota just has a new crush facility that mm-hmm. they are bringing on. I mean, there was a lot of excitement and momentum to try to take advantage of this renewable diesel boom. And this has really just kind of taken the air out of the, you know, it's really hitting hard. And some of the larger facilities are able to pause, or they're able to, you know, maybe scale back the run capacity. You know, we did have a record July crush margins, you know, crush numbers, which is, you know, but the soy oil stocks, we are starting to use more soy, but the price is just, it's not giving us that boost that we need, right? And this soy crop is huge. Our corn crop is huge. We need new demand. So yeah, there's a lot of folks who are making some noise. You know, a few things that, you know, we could see the renewable diesel, sustainable aviation fuel, a lot of the HEFA plants, so ones that could use soy oil, could be the ones that could switch from SAF from renewable diesel if the dynamics shift that way. Right now, they're really, the economics, because of the tax structure, tilt it more towards renewable diesel. But say, you know, there's some more incentives that push towards sustainable aviation fuel. Maybe we've get some more offtake agreements by airlines. We could see maybe a shift towards sustainable aviation fuel, which California's limit does not limit that for SAF. So, you know, maybe there's some opportunity here. I know that there was a bill proposed out last week from some folks on Capitol Hill to try to have the Energy Information Administration give some more reporting on SAF imports, use. And again, we're just trying to get some more understanding of that market. You know, right now we're only producing about 2,000 barrels a day of SAF, so just a drop in the bucket. But if we're going to try to get to 3 billion gallons by 2030, we're going to have more incentives, more push, more market push as well to get more blending going on there. And again, that might be an opportunity for corn to come in that because there's so much more corn feedstock. You know, as you look at some of the challenges with the soy oil feedstocks, you know, there is only so much we can have here, even with all these new plants, but we've got to have the economics that drive that too.
And to that point, too, we got about a minute here, Jackie. Still, it feels like plenty of hurdles out there. And one of them, 45Z tax credits. We still don't have that guidance and really no word on exactly when that guidance is going to come our way.
Right. You know, that could be a part of the shift that 45Z is part of the clean production, clean fuels production tax credit, which is supposed to start January 1st. You know, this is going to replace the blender's tax credit, which does not limit to domestic. So maybe we've got a whole surge of imports right now because everyone's trying to get in before that first. I don't expect 45Z to happen anytime soon as much as it needs to. And I think we're going to probably have to get into probably a, you know, part of 2025 before we get back to it.
And that would be unfortunate, but could be the reality. Folks can learn more online, cobank.com. A lot of great work they do. Their knowledge exchange. Folks can find more details with that. Jackie Facca, lead analyst, farm supply and biofuels for CoBank. Always good to talk with you, Jackie. Thanks for being with us here on AOA today.
You too. Thanks so much, Jesse.
All right, coming up next here on the program, before we wrap things up here today, we'll take a look at Ag News headlines and specifically some new comments from Jonathan Kappas with the University of Illinois. Take a look at the recent CBO scoring of the House version of a new farm bill. We'll get to that coming up next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
At Skechers, we put the S in comfort. Now, I know you're probably spelling comfort in your head and asking yourself, wait a second, is that possible? Or am I just a really bad speller? Look, I don't know your spelling aptitude, but Skechers most definitely put the S in comfort. Because Skechers is the comfort technology company, and Skechers has developed fits and features that change everything you know about comfort. We're talking fits like Relax Fit, Arch Fit, Massage Fit, Stretch Fit, and more. And comfort features like Skechers' exclusive world-famous air-cooled memory foam. Or hands-free Skechers slip-ins, the ultimate in comfort and convenience. It's footwear you just step into and they're on, just like that. No touching your shoes, no bending down. Come on, how comfortable is that? Now, if you still don't believe me, and you don't understand how Skechers put the S in comfort, there's only one thing left to do. Go try your own pair of Skechers. See for yourself how Skechers put the S in comfort. Find Skechers, including slip-ins, at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by right now. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-610-2400. That's 800-610-2400. Call now to find out how much your case could be worth.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
It's the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Hey, I'm Reba McEntire. In life, you'll hear a lot of people tell you that you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that's true. Since I was a little girl, I dreamed of becoming a successful singer and entertainer. It took a lot of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to find my success, but it was worth it. I never gave up on my dreams. Remember, You can never have a dream come true until you've had a dream. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Well, earlier this year, of course, the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Agriculture released a new farm bill. The Congressional Budget Office, or CBO, has now scored it. We have comments from Jonathan Compass, agricultural policy specialist from the University of Illinois, discussing what that scoring means.
Yeah, so one of the things that we have to always keep in mind, which is one of these wonderful oddities of the reauthorization and legislative process, is the primary role that the Congressional Budget Office plays, because they are the nonpartisan, unaffiliated experts on the economic questions, and they're the scorekeeper. They're the official scorekeeper of how much programs are expected to spend, and they score this, they project these out over 10 years into the future, which is confusing and challenging in many ways. But it is the method that Congress has put in place for itself. It's the way it's trying to, you know, it's the rules it's supposed to operate by when it comes to legislating and enacting laws. The other thing that the CBO scoring process does, and one of the more positive things, is a bit of transparency, right? It is nonpartisan objective analysis of what the changes in the legislation can be would be expected to do, or what kind of projections you get out of those changes. The CBO's analysis adds a lot of transparency to that, because it kind of gives you a sense of, oh, by changing that, it's going to cost, you know, a certain amount.
He talks about the different parts of the farm bill and what the House has done in the way it's structuring it.
Well, so as we know, farm bills get passed through this coalition that helps get the votes to move the legislation through Congress. And that coalition involves three things. That is the support to farmers through Title I commodity programs like agriculture risk coverage and price loss coverage. That is helping farmers manage risk through the crop insurance program. That is helping farmers deal with conservation and natural resource challenges. And probably most importantly, overall, in terms of getting a bill through Congress, SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And so that is a big program, serves over 40 million Americans every month. And what we've seen the last two farm bills is that when that comes under partisan attack to try to cut the spending in that program, it tears apart the coalition and makes it nearly impossible to move a bill. And so CBO clarified that the House Farm Bill kind of takes this difficult and troubled route for the third straight time in the House now, where it's looking to cut about in total $20 billion from the SNAP program. And then on the other side of the ledger, it's increasing farm program payments by CBO's estimate by $43 billion over 10 years. And so really big shifts that on their own would be really problematic, but when combined are pretty much the end of trying to get this bill through.
And what are the shifts on the farm side?
Yeah, so one of the key things, right, that it's a negotiation, and should anything happen between now and the lame duck, we're going to have to work out, or Congress is going to have to work out kind of these major sticking points. So most of the spending in the commodities programs is through increasing reference prices in the price loss coverage program. So that's increasing that threshold that triggers payments. There's a small, and that's about $35 billion in additional costs. There's about $9 to $10 billion increased in the agriculture risk coverage. So the House is moving up the guarantee and expanding the coverage level. Then there's about $3.5 billion for crop insurance. That's split between increasing the administrative and operating subsidies for the companies and agents that do the private side of the public-private insurance program. And then there's an increase to the supplemental coverage option so that they're moving it to a 90% trigger with an 80% subsidy on it. And so that also is projected to score about half of that $3.6 billion.
And Coppice adds whether or not there are winners and losers within this.
Well, there's been a long-running regional imbalance in the way these programs are designed. So I want to be clear, the CBO score doesn't break down commodity by commodity. What we have are the top line big, 10-year estimates. But what we know in terms of how the programs operate, increasing reference prices to the degree the House does. So those are large increases for base acres that are affiliated with rice, cotton, seed cotton, and peanuts in particular. Those are only grown in the South. Those base acres are only in the South. And so what we've seen is a disproportionate increase for the reference prices for those crops. So we would assume that out of these increased spending numbers from CBO, that the farmers who hold base acres, and remember, these are not payments on what's planted. They can get paid for rice and plant another crop, which is why I think this gets to be controversial amongst farmers, is it's not just we're paying Southern farmers, it's that they're getting paid oftentimes to plant the same soybeans and corn crops that we're planting up here in Illinois. So that's where some of this challenge comes in. But you are correct. What we have analyzed previously and continue to dig into, but is not in the CBO score, is this regional disparity or this imbalance in which we're increasing the price thresholds for some of these, for these Southern crops in particular. And that's going to increase payments there. And so we're going to see more of those funds, in that region. What gets a little bit tricky is that, corn, for example, has a lot of base acres in the program. So it looks like corn gets, will end up getting most of the payments. But if you look at it on a per base acre level, right, we're talking 94 million acres of base acres of corn compared to 4.5 million base acres of rice. But on a per base acre payment rate, what we've done previously, our estimates are quite a bit of an increase on rice and peanuts and seed cotton, with I think peanuts as much as $255 per base acre.
And once again, that is comments with Jonathan Coppice. He's an ag policy specialist with the Farm Doc team on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Still feels like there are a lot of question marks when it comes to getting a new five-year farm bill done. Some have indicated on Capitol Hill that they want to try and get it done in a lame duck here before a new Congress and after the election, but it seems like things are really just kind of moving towards another one-year extension and then getting something done in the next Congress. And I know many folks in agriculture don't want to see it done that way. We're out of time here on AOA today. Coming up on our program tomorrow, we are going to talk with Kevin Welsh from Airlines for America. We're going to get some of the perspective from the airline industry on the sustainable aviation fuel front and where things stand there. We'll talk with RMA Administrator Marcia Bunger. Also, some new research on tar spot being done by Purdue University. We'll talk with C.D. Cruz from Purdue. All that and more coming up tomorrow on AOA. For now, though, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. As always, I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Yeah, my daughter needs a laptop for college, but I need to watch the budget.
Well, Staples hot deals on tech are backed by a price match guarantee, so our prices won't be beat.
Great. I can't believe my baby's starting college.
She'll do great.
I know.
Oh, let's get you a great deal on a laptop.
Save big on tech for school at Staples. Now get up to $300 off select PCs. Ends 824 price match guarantee valid within